Priročila Prabhupada. Svevišnji se gospodin nalazi u svačijem srcu Arjuna i upravlja lutanjima svih živih bića koje su smještena u stroju načinjeno od materijalne energije. Smisao Šila Prabhupada. Arjuna nije bio vrhovni poznavatelj i njegova odluka da se bori ili ne bori temeljila se na njegovom ograničenom rasuđivanju. Gospodin Krišna je objasnio da živo biće nije sve u svemu. Svevišnja božanska osoba, on sam, Krišna, kao lokalizirana nad duša, prebiva u srcu živoga bića i usmjerava ga. Nakon što promijeni tijelo, živo biće zaboravlja svoja prošla djela. Ali nad duša, kao poznavatelj prošlosti, sadašnjosti i budućnosti, ostaje svjedok svih njegovih djelatnosti. Stoga svim djelatnostima živih bića upravlja nad duša. Živo biće dobiva ono što zaslužuje i biva nošeno materijalnim tijelom stvorenim u materijalnoj energiji po naredbi nad duše. Čim se nađe u određenoj vrsti tijela, mora djelovati pod utjecajem tog tjelesnog stanja. Osoba u brzom autu vozi brže od osobe u sporijem autu, iako vozači živa bića mogu biti ista. Slično tome, po naredbi vrhovne duše, materijalna priroda oblikuje određenu vrstu tijela za određenu vrstu živog bića, tako da živo biće može djelovati u skladu sa svojim prošlim željama. Živo biće nije neovisno. Ne bi trebalo misliti da ne ovisi o svevišnjoj božanskoj osobi. Uvijek je pod gospodinovim nadzorom. Zato se mora predati i to je poruka sljedećeg stiha. Prijevod još jednom. Svevišnji se gospodin nalazi u svačijem srcu Arjuna i upravlja lutanjima svih živih bića koje su smještena u stroju načinjenom od materijalne energije.
I remember the first time when I heard about this verse was when I was translating it from English into the German language as part of my project or the project to render the German or to render the English Bhagavad Gita into German. I remember that it was very difficult for me to understand this verse. Later, only when I had made a little bit more progress in the philosophy and also in the practice of Krishna consciousness, I understood how much this verse actually has something to do with my own life. The verse says in simple words that this material body is a machine, a vehicle for the eternal soul. Now the soul which drives on this vehicle or the body always thinks himself to be the driver, but actually he's only a co-driver. Do you know what is a co-driver? A co-driver is someone like me who sits next to Gaurahari. The actual driver driving is done by the driver. The co-driver is only witnessing or observing the ride. So the actual driving force in our lives is Krishna. It is Krishna who brings us into the temple, for instance. It is Krishna who brings us, after we have observed the lecture, to our home. It is Krishna who wakes us up in the morning. It is Krishna who then inspires us to go to the bathroom so that we can get ready for the day. Strangely enough, we think we are doing everything. It's almost like a co-driver who thinks that he's driving the car. He may sit in the co-driver's seat and then pretend to drive. And lie in the curve. And when it goes into the left level, it will go. And he may put his feet on the ground. Now it's full stop. And then he may pretend with his foot to go on the gas pedal, the imaginary gas pedal, and say, now we start driving very fast. He thinks he's driving the car, but actually it is the person who's next to him. Now, we often are like such an illusioned co-driver. We think our life is totally under our control. We pretend actually that we are moving our lives. But upon closer observation, we must find out that most of the things are not under our control. Most of the things happen to us. It's not that we make them happening. So in this verse, it is said that the living entity is next to God in this body. But unfortunately, due to illusion, he does not understand that it is Krishna who is driving his car. He believes often that he is in control, is often full of anxiety and thinking, will this work out? Will I be able to be successful in this field of our life? It's very strange. And some of you, I believe, have already experienced this. When you give up this false idea that you are in control, then things start to happen to your benefit. Only if you remain in this illusion that you are the actual driver of your life, that you are the controller, and that you can make everything happening, only if you remain in this illusion, then things don't work out very nicely. I sincerely want to request you to make an experiment in your spiritual life or in your life. Think about a situation which is difficult for you. Think of a situation where you have tried many times to make it work and where you have many times failed. Maybe a relationship. Maybe a situation like trying to make your driver's license, but you somehow don't get it together. Or a difficult situation, maybe you want to change something in your life, you feel it's high time, but you have tried so often to change it, and it never worked. So, think of such a situation which is difficult for you, and try to now approach the situation in a different way. Try to approach the situation with the knowledge that you are anyways not in control. Instead of trying what you have tried so often and failing again and again, this time I want to request you to do it differently. This time, give this situation into the hands of Krishna. Please tell him, Krishna, I tried many times to solve this situation. It didn't work. Now I place it into your hands. You are as we have heard in this Bhagavad Gita class. Anyways, the driver of my life, I acknowledge this. Now please take care of this particular situation. If you can actually detach yourself from this false sense of doership, if you can detach yourself from trying to be the controller where you can control absolutely nothing, and when you actually try to give this situation into the hands of Krishna, acknowledging that you are not in control, you will see how the situation changes changes in a very, very wonderful way. It changes by Krishna's kind mercy. There have been investigations with people who were chronically ill, and they went through hospital after hospital. They went through a treatment after treatment. They went through doctors after doctors. And finally they understood, it's not in my control and not in the control of these hospitals and doctors to become healthy. I place this my health project entirely in the hands of God now. And all of a sudden, they became healthy. Because maybe it is the greatest illusion of our life that we, who are co-drivers, think that we are the main driver. That is the greatest illusion in our life. And as long as we keep on in this illusion, we will not be able to make very good changes in our lives, and we will not be able to lead a spiritually fulfilling and happy life. The moment we understand Krishna is the main driver, and we give things over in his hand, then our life changes to the better. This doesn't mean that the small things which are in our own responsibility have to be given away. For instance, a spiritual person will still brush his own teeth and not wait in the morning that Krishna brushes his teeth. He will dress himself or herself. He will take care of things like studying or passing examinas. But the major, so he will take care of the things which are within his circle of responsibility. But he will give up will give things which are not in his circle of responsibility over into the hands of Lord Krishna. I would like to make this a little bit more clear to you, and I will do this by drawing a circle, two circles on the blackboard. Thank you very much. Sorry, my leg fell asleep. Each person in his life knows of two circles. A smaller circle and a bigger circle. This circle stands for the things which lie in my own responsibility, like, for instance, getting up, doing the many little things I do, This is circle of my influence, circle of my influence. And this is the major circle in our life. These are things which are not in my influence. It's health, for instance. It's happiness. It's progress. The bigger issues. And it's very important when you go through life to take responsibility for your circle of influence. I put an R here, responsibility. And this is to put the other things where you know that you are not in control into the responsibility or in the hands of Lord Krishna. This is, let me say, an interpretation of this shloka, which I have just read to you. I want to now read it again in English, and our Govindanandan will also read it to you in the sweet Croatian language. One moment. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Govindanandan, I will first read it in English and then you can read it loud in Croatian for everyone. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Haritsi. Yes. What this also means is that a person happily acknowledges that the supreme control of Lord Krishna. This year, I had a very, very nice realization of this. I was so happy to be invited by my friend Radhanath Maharaj to join the Blissful Ratha Yatra festival in the ancient town of Jagannath Puri. I told the devotees who greeted me this morning here in the temple that it was an unforgettable moment in my life when finally, with 6 hours delay, we had expected the Lord to come out at 6 o'clock, and he came out at 12:30. Famous person is sometimes late, huh? So after 6 hours of delay, Lord Jagannath was carried out by his servants out of the temple and onto the beautiful chariots, these huge, huge carts, which were used in a procession. This procession would bring Lord Jagannath and Balaram and also Subhadra down the grand road, it's called Grand Road, to the Gundicha Gardens, which represented Vrindavan. It was, in other words, God's journey from the opulent kingdom of the temple in which he was into the romantic garden town called Vrindavan. So I still remember two very nice scenes which I would like to tell you about. Lord Jagannath had come on top of his chariot. The moment he came out of the temple, there was a cool breeze,
which refreshed all of us, and a smell like fragrant malati flowers. It was really overwhelming. And I believe it was necessary for the Lord to give us some fresh air, because it was so hot. They had to transport people, poor people, away from the place, who had fainted because of dehydration. So when the Lord finally came out, the breeze was there and the smell. And I remember at that time, I was standing before the cart offering my prayers, when I saw next to me an Indian person who also offered his prayer. After some time, a third person came with a fan, and he began to fan fresh air to the Indian person who was standing next to me praying. I was standing next to the Indian person, and I also got some of the fresh breeze, and I felt, dobro idea, vise, more. But my Indian devotee neighbor became very upset. Finally, he took the fan, and he started to fan air to Lord Jagannath, who was 100 meters away from him on the chariot, and refreshed him. In my mind, I thought, in this little gesture of taking the fan, which was used to please him, taking that fan and pleasing the Lord, the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness came through. Yes, Krishna is the more important personality. Let's fan him. That was his idea. So I was just thinking, oh, here I have learned something about devotion to Krishna. When all of a sudden there was a huge noise next to me, and the ocean of human beings parted, and I saw a beautiful rickshaw coming, you know, with nice gold and ornaments. And I looked into the rickshaw, and I saw my friend, the king of Puri. I went like, ah, it's me, Sachidananda Swami from Germany. My friend, the king, came, who had visited me in Germany and with whom I had traveled to different universities and so on. He's a real king. When he was in Berlin for the festival, he came barefoot on the streets of Berlin, and the German press said, King of Puri, barefoot in Berlin. So he came, and he did what he has done since many hundreds of years. He what the king of Puri had done for many hundreds of years. He swept the streets before Lord Jagannath. And I thought this was very, very nice. He didn't do it directly on the street. He did it on the chariot. He swept around the deity. And, you know, here he was, a king. He was older. He had a very kind face. He gave a little speech to his people, who were all crying to see him, and all begging him to show his kingly mercy to them, you know. And as he was speaking to the people from the chariot, I remembered one of his forefathers, and I thought I would talk today about him. This forefather was called King Purushottam. Dev. And once he went on a journey to South India, where he met the king of South India, and also his daughter Padmavati. When he saw Padmavati, Purushottam Dev, the king of Puri, developed an interest in her. They started to talk, and a relationship began to form. And after Purushottam Dev had finished his journey, it was decided that he would later marry Padmavati, the princess of South India. But Purushottam Dev found out that he couldn't stay any longer in South India because the Jagannath Kath festival was about to start in Puri. So he quickly excused himself. He said he would come later and get Padmavati, his new wife, but now he had to go to Puri to help in the ceremonies of the Ratha Yatra festival. He invited the Prime Minister of South India to come along with him. So both of them went, and King Purushottam Dev came to Puri just in time to do his main service, that is to sweep the streets before the Ratha Yatra cart. Now when the minister, the Prime Minister of South India, saw how the king of Puri, who was to marry the princess of the southern kingdom, became a street sweeper, he was shocked. I don't know if you know, but street sweepers in India are usually taken from the lowest caste. When there's some dirt on the street in India, you know, some stool, for instance, because they have an open canalization system, they get a bangi, it's called. These are very dark people, you know, they have strong bodies, but often they have a little, maybe a criminal background, and they look a little, you know, they really look like a street child, a man of the street. So they get them and say, you please clean this. So the minister saw how the king and would-be husband did the street sweeping, and he immediately wrote back a short message to his king, don't marry your daughter to a street sweeper. I explain more when I come back. And he left in the midst of the ceremonies of the Ratha Yatra festival and went as quick as he could travel to his king and told him what he had seen. He had seen that Purushottam Dev had taken his dhoti up and swept the street before the carts began to roll and before the carts were pulled. So the king of South India immediately decided not to marry his daughter to the king of Puri. And he wrote a letter where he explained himself. I have heard from my minister that you were sweeping the streets. I am not willing to give my daughter to a street sweeper. That's the end of our political relationships. Goodbye. When Purushottam Dev read this letter, he became very, very angered. He became enraged.
How dared the king of the southern provinces call him a street sweeper? And how did he dare to annulate, it's called in English, that is to stop the proposed marriage? King Purushottam Dev thought this was a personal offense against his lord and against his servant. He rounded an army. He took an army and he traveled south in order to take revenge. Now when he came to Kanchi, this kingdom, the king waited already for him with a more, with a better equipped army. And when the two armies met, King Purushottam Dev was cruelly defeated. He lost almost all of his army, but he could escape and he came back. He didn't even want to enter his hometown Puri because he felt so ashamed. So he went to a sadhu, that means a saint who lived before Puri, and said, "My dear saint, I was fighting for Lord Jagannath's honor, but I was defeated. I don't know what to do now with my life. I have been blasphemed, my lord has been blasphemed, and I have been totally defeated." So the sadhu asked, "Did you ask Lord Jagannath for help?" Purushottam said, "No." Then the sadhu said, the saint said, "Go again to the Lord, explain yourself, and ask him if he would help you to save you, the honor of Lord Jagannath." So Purushottam Dev, the next morning, he stealthily walked into the temple. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Why have you given me up when I needed you most? I was only fighting for you to correct the wrong impression that your servants are low-class street sweepers." Lord Jagannath answered, "Go again to Kanchi, this time I will come with you." "What?" "Yes, I will come with you, and this time you will be victorious," said Lord Jagannath. "Don't be mental." So Purushottam got a few people together. He got his elephant together, and they marched towards Kanchi. Now, ahead of his army, two soldiers galloped with their horses, and they came to a village where there was a little woman who was selling buttermilk and yogurt, and these two soldiers stopped before the lady and said, "We are very thirsty. Give us your buttermilk and yogurt." "Oh," said the lady, "but you are soldiers. I mean, do you have money? Who will pay?" The soldier said, we are fighting for Purushottam Dev, the king of Puri. He will pay." So they took these pots of yogurt and buttermilk and just drank everything. And then they wanted to continue, but the lady was thinking, "Oh no, my God, if they will not pay, if the king will not pay for his soldiers, what will I do? And I've lost so much. They have drunken all my yogurt and buttermilk." So she said, "My dear two soldiers, can you give me something so that, which identifies you so that I can show it to the king who comes a little later, and then he pays for you?" So
So one of the soldiers smiled and he took a ring from his finger and said, "Here, this is the ring. This is my ring. Show it to the king. He will come in half an hour." And then they galloped onwards. So Purushottam Dev was riding on his elephant towards Kanchi, and the further he came, the more doubts he developed. Will the Lord protect me? All of a sudden, there was a little lady before him, and he said, "Pay, king, pay. Pay for your two soldiers." "What?" Yes, there was a black soldier riding a white horse, and a white soldier riding a black horse. They just come and they drunken all my yogurt and buttermilk. And they said, "They are fighting for you." "Really?" said the king. "I've never seen these soldiers." "Yes, one of the soldiers gave me this ring for you to identify himself." So the lady reached the ring up to the elephant. The elephant took the ring and gave it to the king. And the king looked at the ring and said, "My lord, I know this ring. This is the ring of Lord Jagannath." Lord Jagannath had given his ring. He had taken the form of a soldier and he was riding the white horse. And Balaram, his brother, was there with a whitish complexion. You can see here. And he rode the black horse. Purushottam Dev was in ecstasy and he said, "Lady, lady, lady, I will give you 5 villages for your buttermilk and yogurt." He became very happy and he marched towards Kanchi. And when he was arriving in Kanchi, he saw already the two soldiers. You know, they were riding like the wind. And alone, they defeated the whole army of the South Indian king. Alone. Only the two of them. And all the soldiers who were defeated felt very blissful and shouted, "Hari Bol!" It was the most blissful battle which had ever taken place. Then Purushottam Dev, he took the deity of Ganesh and the deity of Radha Kanta from the South Indian province, and he took one person captive. He took the king captive, and he also took Padmavati, the beautiful princess of the Southern Kingdom. But he said, "I will not marry you. I will marry you to a street sweeper. I cannot forgive how your father and his whole kingdom blasphemed my Lord Jagannath and did not want to marry you to me because I was sweeping the roads for my Lord. I will not forget this. It's too heavy. I will choose a low-born street sweeper and he will marry you to humiliate your whole kingdom." This was very heavy news for Padmavati because she had a great liking and loving for the king Purushottam Dev. But what could be done? So Purushottam Dev gave gave Padmavati into the care of his minister, and the minister was ordered to find a street sweeper for this most beautiful princess. He was very intelligent and he could not do it. He waited for the next Ratha Yatra festival. Then Purushottam Dev came out with the streets, with a broom in his hand, and was sweeping the streets. In that moment, the minister came with Padmavati and said, I just wanted to declare a marriage. The whole kingdom looked. Yes, I have here the princess of Kanchi, and my king ordered me to find a street sweeper for her as a husband. I have found no better street sweeper than my king, who's sweeping the streets. He should marry now Padmavati. So King Purushottam Dev smiled, and the marriage was done next day. So, as I was in Puri this time, I looked at my friend, who is the king of Puri, and I remembered this ancient story about one of his predecessors, one of his kings. And I remembered this wonderful tradition which is there in Puri, the tradition whereby everyone, including the king, accepts the rule of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On this Ratha Yatra day, everything stops in Puri. All the shops are closed, and the whole street, it's a huge street, is made empty, and then the carts go in one, with ocean of human beings, an ocean of worshippers, down this roads, and everyone, including the king, is totally excited to worship the Lord. And I have seen in this town where everyone really is worshiping Lord Jagannath, there is a very, very spiritual atmosphere. And in this spiritual atmosphere, the Lord reveals himself. There's a cosmic law or spiritual law in spiritual life. And that is, in the degree in which someone surrenders to Krishna, in that same degree, Krishna reveals himself. Ye yatamang prapadyante tamstataiva bhajam yaham. We could, for instance, see that Lord Jagannath was there for all his devotees. All of us, there were millions of people. We only had eyes for Lord Jagannath, and it seemed Lord Jagannath had eyes for every one of his devotees. For instance, when we finally arrived at the Gundicha temple, there was a festival for 2 nights. In the second night, they had people who whirled fire around and danced with the fire, and they had beautiful dancers. So we had been placed on the roof of a house, and from that roof, we could see the 3 chariots, Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, and here the Gundicha gardens, and here we were, and we could see the whole festival from upstairs. And I can tell you, it was such a blissful festival with people swirling fire, dancing, singing. Our 3,000 devotees sat in one place and chanted beautiful songs for Lord Jagannath. And finally, Lord Jagannath came down from the chariot. And as he came down, he turned on the ramp in our direction on the roof. It looked like this on the roof, and we almost fell from the roof. Earlier, we had asked asked the Daitapatis, the priests who carry the Lord, how they coordinate their movements so that he seems to dance out of the temple. And they said to us, we coordinate nothing. Lord Jagannath is coordinating us. He's just so blissful that and so happy to go to Vrindavan that we all feel he can fall any moment. So we are just wrestling to try to keep him afloat so that he doesn't hit the ground. He controls us. We don't control him. So that is what I wanted to tell you. But please keep your experiment in mind. Think about your two circles, huh? Things which are in your influence, please do them. Take responsibility for those parts of your life. And those things which are in your life, which are important to you, but which you cannot control, give them into the hands of Krishna. I believe most of the times we are like this crazy co-driver who thinks he's driving the car. And therefore we have so much miseries and so much anxieties and so much frustrations. If we could just learn to give that major circle of our life into the hands of Lord Krishna, it will go very nicely. So, Hare Krishna, I have come to the end. I thank you very much for coming to this Krishna Conscious program. It's many more than I expected. I just thought I would come incognito a few days before the program started. But you have all come here, and with you a festival has come. Thank you very much. Dada, yes. Hare Krishna. For those of you who want to know a little bit my program, I intend to give Wednesday, tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, I will give an evening program. Oh yeah, Gaurahari. We should give Jagannath Prasadam to the devotees. Would you like to have a little Jagannath Prasadam?
Yes.
Yeah? Do you deserve it? Before the Prasadam comes, I will take a question and I see Manjulali, is this... please speak first in Croatian. I only wanted to tell it if someone wanted to know. But, well, on the day of Ratha Yatra, Lord Jagannath is actually no longer Jagannath, but Jagabandhu. Jagabandhu means the friend of the universe. On that day, the Lord is breaking all conventions. That is, people who are not priests, they can take part in the ceremony and pull his chariot. And also, people who are not even allowed to come into the temple on normal days, and also those who are non-priests, they are actually allowed to get on the chariot and embrace him. On that day, the priests, who do everything always very, very, very good, they are very unconventional with the Lord. For instance, you see them leaning on the arm of the Lord and reading the newspaper. It's no problem, because the Lord is the friend on that day. Everything is all right with a friend, isn't it? We don't need to be so formal with a friend. So I had been informed that it would be possible for even Western devotees to climb on the chariot, but we had to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning. So the festival was the day before up till 11 o'clock. Yeah, 12 o'clock. So then we had to go home and go to bed. But we managed to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning. We sat down on the asphalt. It was nice and cool, and we chanted our rounds before Lord Jagannath, looking at Lord Jagannath. And then Radhanath Maharaj and two other Maharajas were asked by our Daityapati friend, our priest friend, Ram Kumar, that they could now come on the cart and embrace Lord Jagannath. So I was sitting there, and I was thinking, I'm sure they will not call me. And by the way, I mean, I'm not one of those fanatic Hare Krishna people who need to touch everything in order to see the reality of it. I'm sitting here, and I will see Lord Jagannath from here, and with my mind I will take a form of a bumblebee and go to Lord Jagannath. Finished. So then after half an hour, the priest came and said, "You can come on the cart if you want." And I immediately jumped up. Sometimes the human being is contradictory. And I climbed on the car. Now to get on the car, you need to be like in Serbian language you would say adventurist. You need to be like a mountain climber. How do we say mountain climber? Klambina? Planinar. You need to be like a planinar. It's a really a huge cart. You need to, just to come from the ground. The first etage is like higher than you can go. You need to jump. And then you somehow need to remember Tarzan, and then you go zoom, 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 and then you go and it's a few times you have to go like this up and anyways, by Lord Jagannath mercy, I did it, no problem. And then I came close to Lord Jagannath, and Manjulali, I cannot describe to you what happened. I was together with Jananivas Prabhu and his brother Pankajangri, the two twins. And we were on the chariot, it was very high. We saw the human beings downstairs. Then we saw Lord Jagannath. And then the people started to there were a few people who tried to come close to Lord Jagannath. It was really like a panic was happening up there. But then I decided, when it comes to doing intense things, I know how to move. So I dove down. I went between the legs like a snake. And I just put my head at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And at that moment, it's very, very difficult for me to describe what happened. And usually I like to describe everything, but here I'm too respectful. All I know is that I felt a tremendous amount of spiritual energy coming from Lord Jagannath's transcendental body and just coming into my own heart. It felt like a lot of ecstasy. I felt very clear. I could understand at that moment that I'm not this material body, that I'm an eternal spiritual soul. It seemed that the whole cloud of illusion was just gone, and I felt great love and devotion for the Lord in my heart. It was an unforgettable moment in my Krishna conscious moment. It was, you know, it was like an energy which came from outside into the heart. And this happened three times because I went on all the three chariots. I didn't feel that I was embracing the Lord. I felt really that He was embracing me. And that was much better. In spiritual things, it's much, much nicer if the Lord takes on the initiative. It's much nicer than if the human being takes the initiative. Good. That is my little story. Then I came down the last chariot, and really, you again, I had to remember King Kong, or you know, it's not easy to come down. You really have to plan how you get down, but you can't plan anything because you are so much in bliss. So I somehow jumped down and I landed. No problem. I was really in bliss. So I landed just before Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and he was shocked. From where are you coming? I'm coming from the kingdom of God. He looked at me. You were at the chariot? Yes, I said. And it is my strong request that you also get up on the chariots. And he was just preaching to some Indian film star or something, you know. And he thought, I really didn't intend to climb on the chariots. I said, Maharaj, I also thought I shouldn't get on the chariots. But when you are up there, it's totally different. Now, he is much smaller than me. And he looked up the chariots, and it was a huge chariot. Said, no problem, Maharaj. If you want, Lord Jagannath will pull you up somehow. Then he just took his dhoti and said, all right. And then he jumped it. And somehow he also made it. I didn't really have a chance to speak with him afterwards, but because I lost him in the crowd, but I'm 100% sure that it was the experience of his spiritual life. 100% sure. So my humble request to all of you is, please also make an immediate plan how to go to the Jagannath Kart Festival in Jagannath Puri. It's very important. Devashi Narada.
On the technical question about this, what you said now, you said that about 3,000 devotees were there. It was ISKCON devotees, and it was some organized from...
Yes, it was the Radha Gopinath congregation. That is a Chopati temple. Ananda Gopal was in this temple for a few months, I believe. 2 months. Hare Krishna. For 3 months he was there. And there they have many nice devotees. Devotees there, and they have a very good loudspeaker system also. We did kirtans, Devashi Narada. They were, you know, at the beginning of the kirtans, I thought, oh no, we have not, I'm already here 6 hours, and I'm totally dehydrated. If I start to dance now, I will just faint. It's so hot. And, you know, the kirtan started, and I thought, I will not dance, I will not dance, I will not dance. I will 100% not dance. It will kill me if I start now. Then after 15 minutes, what could I do? We were dancing like anything. We lost about 70 liters of water, you know. But no problem. I counted. I was drinking 10 bottles, such big bottles of water, and I didn't need to, you know, how to explain it, to go behind the bushes. It all left me through you know, sweating, because we danced so much. Deva, you have a question? I will answer with a story. Once there was a man who came to a saint and said, "Oh, my life is terrible. My wife has left me. My children are terrible to me. I was fired from my job." And he continued like this, lament, lament, lament. Finally, the saint said, interrupted him and asked him, "Have you taken care of someone today?" "What? I mean, I need to be taken care of. I can't take care of anyone. My life is such a mess. You know, my digestion doesn't work." And then he started to continue with all the things which went wrong and how he was mistreated and this and that. Finally, the saint interrupted him and said, "Have you already taken care of someone?" And again, the man thought the saint had said something foolish. He left with great displeasure. And the saint said to his disciples who were sitting nearby, "Oh, I feel so sorry for this man. This man does know if you take care of others' troubles, God will take care of yours." Now, Deva, this is something which I have always seen in my own life as a preacher. If I start to genuinely take care of other people, or try to help them or serve them in whatever my capability, it seems that Krishna takes care of my own things and so on. But we could make a mistake and exploit Krishna or exploit it. I think it is necessary for each devotee to face his or her own responsibility as a general rule. At least as long as we are not yet fully in love with Krishna and fully in spiritual consciousness, then we have to do what we are supposed to do. That's the idea of the Varnashram system. Krishna has created a system in which each one of us has certain responsibilities, and I feel it's very necessary to observe these responsibilities. But there is a general rule that if you dedicate your life to preaching, or meaning taking care of others, it seems that you are entering a transcendental supply system, a God's transcendental supply system in which he even takes care of an ant, or the animals and everything. So to make it very clear to you, Devadeva, you will have to face your responsibilities in life. But sometimes when in the course of preaching or serving Krishna, you can't take care of everything, Krishna usually takes care. There is a general statement in the Padma Purana about those who forget to chant their Gayatri mantras, but who do so because they do devotional service. It said, when a devotee does devotional service, and forgets his other duties because of devotional service, there are 20,000 devatas who take care of his duties. So if you forget your Gayatri mantra because you are in the midst of preaching, there it says it's 20,000 rishis or saints who chant for you. They may even be able to chant better than you. But this is for someone who is engaged in devotional service. Huh? It's not for an irresponsible fool.
Hare Krishna. If you like, explain to public who not here today your speech about this neck.
Devashi Narada has requested me to speak about my new decoration. Does it look so strange? Once there was a little girl who was singing in her garden the song called Gita Govinda. We sing every evening a few lines from this song. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisa Hare, and so on. So she was singing the whole song, and Lord Jagannath found it was such a beautiful song that he left the altar and went into the garden where this lady with this young girl was singing her song. It was a garden who was full of thorns, and Jagannath sat down and his cloth was attacked by the thorns. So then when the girl had finished her song, Lord Jagannath somehow rushed out of the garden back on the altar, and some of his cloth remained in the garden, in the thorns. So when the priests came for the last ceremonies, they saw Lord Jagannath's cloth was ripped apart by thorns. They were thinking, what is this? I mean, who was on the altar and ripped the cloth apart of our Lord? In the night, Lord Jagannath gave the answer. He appeared to the king and said, there is a garden and there is a young girl who sings beautifully the Gita Govinda. I liked her singing so much that I came from the altar and went into the garden to hear her. You will find some of my cloth is still there in the thorns. Bring this girl and give her all facilities, and from tomorrow evening on, I want her to sing her song in the temple. So they found the girl, they saw in the garden the cloth of Lord Jagannath, and they made all facilities, requested her to sing for the Lord, and since that day, each night, the Gita Govinda is sung. Lord Jagannath likes it so much that he has a cloth. It's a big cloth like this, but it's really from here to the window so big. This is only a piece of it. And on the cloth, you will find here, you see some letters? Huh? This is the Gita Govinda. The whole Gita Govinda is on letters here. I mean, I only have a small cloth. And he is in the evening wrapped in this cloth with a whole, with all the lines of the Gita Govinda. He likes it so much. It's like the song which you write all over your body. You know, he really likes the Gita Govinda. Every evening it's sung. First it was sung by this girl, and now other musicians sing it. And I got, I mean, I'm the most fallen, but I got a little piece of this cloth, and I have decided to wear it like this, if it is all right with you.
I mean, if it doesn't look very strange, I hope it does look socially accepted.
I could pass the borders. It looks all right. Hare Krishna. Somehow I have to try to become Krishna conscious. I'm very fallen, so I need extra techniques. Good.